What's up, Madtown? It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. Yes, indeed. Brandi Grayson gets it from her mama. The body, the intellect, the skin, the smile, all the stuff that make everybody mad. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm excited to be here. I have been quiet about your favorite white boy, Charlie Kirk. Today, we're going to talk about Charlie Kirk. And unlike Kimmel, I will not be kicked off my show. But I also, before we talk about the new god of white people, I want to introduce my co-host today, Alex.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Okay, good morning, Madison. My name is Alex. Of course, in true Miss Brandi Grayson fashion, she asked me at, what, 11 o'clock last night?
Yes, I did.
Yes. So here we are on this beautiful Thursday, sunny morning in Madison. Who I am? I have known Brandi. I'm a founding board member with Urban Triage. So I've been sitting on the board since its inception. And lucky enough to get to work side by side with her now every day. Hi, y'all. Good morning.
But not only that, she's the first white woman on my show. Can we acknowledge that?
Token white girl.
Okay. We are making history
gladly
here.
And proudly,
okay.
Yes.
And not only that, Alex was the co-owner of Short Stacks.
Yes. Just a couple blocks down the street. It's been a minute since I've been downtown.
Yeah.
And so I was happy to come down here.
Yeah. So, you know, all the foodies, if you guys follow the foodie, the foodie Facebook, they were pretty mad at you.
Woo, girl.
Alex. So Alex was co-owner and recently closed, and they did phenomenal work. From my perspective, you guys were always grounded in social justice, and it was always about equity and pay, wages, and making sure you treated your staff well and that you were actively involved as a business in our community. And how did that affect you, like how people saw you and how people responded when they learned that you were closing?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, you can probably relate to this too.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, what they see in their perception is vastly different than maybe someone else's truth. So
yeah.
My truth was, yes, we had a line down the block all the time. So everyone's like, what the hell? Why'd you close?
Yeah.
What's happening? And on the back end, you know, we continue to watch food costs and grocery costs soar through the roof. We continue to watch labor costs soar through the roof. We were an organization that, you know, offered full benefits and, we never paid our employees like minimum wage or like a server wage, even mm-hmm. though we were a tipping establishment. Mm-hmm. And so from a labor perspective, and then the third kind of three-peat was the rent cost downtown. Yeah. I think it's just extraordinary how much the overhead costs are downtown. So kind of those three things post-COVID, on top of our COVID debt that we had to take on to keep our doors open, it was just an impossible feat. And, you know, we kept coming up against the idea of, like, do we close or do we change our model and what we set out to do, which was support our community, support our employees, and serve good local organic food. And it got to the point where it's like, you either do what you say you're going to do or you don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people's negative perception of me, I think that's going to be the case anytime you put yourself out there.
Yes.
I can appreciate anybody that's the doer, anybody that's the tryhard, anybody that gives it a go.
Yeah.
You're going to have people regardless. So just know that going into it, that if you want to be a leader that stands for something, you're going to have people that disagree with you, no doubt. And in the world of social media, you're going to have people that spread all kinds of all kinds of untruths all the time.
Yes.
And so you get to decide what kind of energy you waste on that.
Yeah.
And for me, and you and I have talked about this before, it's deciding how much you want to protect yourself against that, right? You mm-hmm. can decide whether or not you open your phone or click on a link or
yep.
comment on a comment. And so I very much so decided for myself that I don't have the time, energy, or space for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm going to continue to kind of be me. People that with me.
Oh, you're on the radio.
People
okay,
that,
see,
yeah.
Patrick Parker, we have a new producer. So our new producer forgot to tell my guests that cussing is not allowed.
Okay.
And you have to kind of prep them, Parker.
Especially
yeah.
me, Parker.
The people
Shoot.
I invite are not as coofed as we would like
yes.
them to be.
That's all right. That's okay. all right.
The people that hang out with me hang out with
okay,
me.
Okay, that's
know
better.
Me well.
That's better. And for people who are just tuning in, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host for the day,
Hey, Alex Lindenmeyer. Good morning, y'all.
Yeah, and she was just checking in about her experience of being the co-owner of Short Stacks and the impact of, like, just the trolls and her deciding and her partner deciding to close because they couldn't afford it. The prices went up, sticking to their value and mission, and the foodie group went crazy. So we're just checking in about that. And for my check-in, I want to share my experience in Alabama. So I spent the whole week in Alabama, you guys, a couple weeks ago as part of this Transformative Fellowship program. It's the same program that took me to Minneapolis, that took me to Baltimore. In a couple weeks, it's taking me to Washington, D.C. In December, it's taking me to Puerto Rico, all for free. Super excited for that. But let me explain to you my experience in Alabama. And I haven't posted on my Facebook yet, but I will. But our purpose in Alabama was to visit all the museums, the National Memorial and Peace and Justice Museums, spearheaded by Brian Stevenson. And Brian Stevenson is a Harvard professor and the author of Just Mercy. If you haven't read the book, you ought to go out and get it. He's doing phenomenal work through his Equity Justice Initiative in Alabama and across the country. And he's moving so silently and so powerfully. So what you got to know about these museums is they tell the story of Black people's history in America from the beginning of the slave trade, from the beginning of enslaving people known as Black. And he tells it so beautifully and so wonderfully. And he's privately funded, so Trump cannot affect him. But what I think about sometimes is how haters can affect him. Because, you know, what happens when Black people build things, whether it's a community, a business, a school, or what have you, white people have a history of, in America, burning it down, tearing it down, terrorizing the places in which we attempt to hold our history. And I learned so much at these museums. So it's three museums. One is the Freedom Memorial and Peace. No, it's the It's the Legacy Museum. And that's like you walk inside and it has the history of enslavement. But the amazing part is it doesn't just tell the story of an enslavement. It tells the story of the consequence of enslavement on the people, on America. And it tells the story all the way through mass incarceration and how this way of being in for people known as Black in America has created slavery today without the shackles. And it's all based on facts, all based in history. And he used holograms of slaves to tell their story. So you're like looking at slaves talking about the impact on them and their real slave stories. And then he also used holograms of prisoners telling their stories. And these prisoners are people that he helped get free through his work. If you read the book Just Mercy, you know that's the primary work he does is, you know, racial justice and social justice in the prison system. And the brother is bad. And I had an opportunity to speak with him, but I'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But what I want to tell you is that when I visited these museums, the Freedom Museum, what I learned was, did you know, Alex, that American wealth was built, when we talk about America being built by Black people or people known as Black, it sounds good, but when you know what that actually means, it shifted me. So did you know that banks gave loans to everyone? You got, if you had a Black slave man, you got 20 acres. If you had a woman slave, you got 10 acres. And then you were allowed to use those acres to get loans. So that's how they built their wealth. So if you had slaves, you got property for free. And then you got to use the property and the slaves as collateral to get loans to build on the land. And guess who built the land? The roads.
We know.
The buildings, the schools, the businesses. Who worked these businesses? Black people, people who were enslaved by white folks, right? And then it tells the story of what would happen, what happened when they ended
transatlantic slavery.
Yeah. So again, you guys, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandy Grayson, the place you tune into for the politics and tea, national and local. And I have my girl, Alex, co-hosting with me today. And I'm just giving you an update on my experience in Alabama at these museums and what I learned. So not only did they build these, not only did Black people build everything, we built white people's wealth. So anyway, it was just so deep for me. And then you hear the stories and the impact of like what happened after they ended the transatlantic. Why can't I ever say that word?
Transatlantic slave trade.
Okay, so they ended it, but it became domestic slavery. So all the Virginia, all the states around the coast where most of the boats were coming into, ended slavery there so that they could sell their slaves to the north. I mean, to the South for higher demand. So they also started breeding farms of people known as black. So they was breeding women and sisters and brothers. It's disgusting, first of all. And then when we talk about why Civil War started in the end, sometimes we have this idea of President Lincoln as this savior of black people who emancipated, but it was never about black people. It was never about the humanity. What's your thoughts about what I shared so far, Alex?
I think, you know, there's so many black and black, brown, white Americans that will live and die by Abraham Lincoln. And I challenge and implore everyone to figure out a different way to see the story and get educated about how this was an economic idea about how do we, when we are going to be on paper emancipating folks from the coast, how do we continue this system? And I think that we have so many, Abraham Lincoln is just one of so many white saviors that we hold up in this country as people that we believe the same things as us. And it's just not true.
Yeah, it wasn't true. It was, like you said, it was all about economics. And what happened is, just what's happening right now, the rich people controlled the slave trade domestically, right? So what, because they could, they were moving slaves back and forth and giving free labor, the white folks who were poor didn't have jobs. So they were being marginalized and they got upset, right? And that's really, I can't really get into all of it because we ain't got the time, but that's what's happening right now. Like poor white people voting for billionaires, voting against their own rights and their own access to resources and opportunities because they've been conditioned to believe their whiteness guarantees protection in the system of capitalism when it does not. And that is where we get a Charlie Kirk and intertwining it with national Christianism or nationalism or Christian nationalism or whatever you want to call it. So we're going to be talking when we return about Charlie Kirk. I also have another guest that's going to come on towards the end of the show to talk about her new business venture, a bar, and she's looking for support. My mother, foster mother, adopted mother, Rita Adair, will be in the building. Well, she's already in the building, but she'll join us in a second to tell us more about her business venture because we're all about supporting black business, black people, black thought, black-centered politics. We're also going to talk more about Dairy Drive, tiny homes being shut down and our city council voting against it, the extension of Dairy Drive and the funding, and the vote failed by one alder person. And we had one alder person who abstained from voting who could have like just voted, who said they supported Dairy Drive. So y'all know how politics work in Madison. It's not about the people. It's not about humanity. It's about the agenda and who is campaigning and who support, you know, all the politics that goes into politics. That's why I don't really believe in politics. But I also want to encourage you to vote, even which is contradictory to what I just said.
Irregardless.
Right. Yes. Irregardless. Vote for my girl, Frances. What's her name?
Fran Hong.
State representative. Yes, she's running for governor. And I think that would be so powerful to have her win. So, y'all, I might not believe in politics, but as we can tell and see from politicking, if we have the wrong people in without a backbone, it ends up with what we have now. So, anyway, stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show with your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. I also want to talk more about Alabama because I experience Black people from across the country. And the more I travel, the more I experience us, the more joy I get. So, stay tuned for Politics and Tea on the Black Conversion Show. You don't want to miss us. Be back in a gift.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, we are back here on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Hey, got a little Kendrick? Okay. Hey. Y'all know I get hyped in the morning and I'm tired and exhausted and still be hyped. I don't even know how I'd be so hyped. I think I get to talking to y'all and I get super hyped. I also have a guest in the building. Who
Good
we
morning.
Got with us? What's your name?
Your friend, Alex Lindemeyer. Good morning, Madison.
Yes, and just for clarity, Alex has not only been part of the founding board of Urban Triage, the nonprofit organization that I founded and I run and currently the CEO of, she's also now, she was our treasurer. She's now our development manager, you know, trying to get white folks to believe in us, right?
Yes. So. It's a full-time job. Yeah.
It's a real full-time. She's what I call my white translator. Mm-hmm. I have white translators everywhere. Luke, my primary producer, is one of my white translators. I often have to have him translate when people call and complain about me. Today, Parker, you get to be the guest. How are you feeling about being here today, Parker?
I'm feeling really good. I'm having a good time.
Are you guys?
I normally produce Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, which is a totally different vibe than this.
You don't say. Yeah.
So
we're shocked
to
hear
it.
Another white boy that agrees with me. Okay, just so you know, I'm just getting
added to the list.
Added to the list. Check. So prior to break, we were talking about my experience in Alabama and the work that Equity Justice Initiative is doing, spearheaded by Brian Stevenson, author of Just Mercy. One part of the exhibits was an art exhibit outside, a sculpture exhibit. It was so beautiful, y'all. It was so profound. And at the beginning of that that sculpture, and we couldn't take pictures. It was not allowed. Boo. And I get it. But at the beginning, they talk about indigenous history. And they tie indigenous history to Black history. And you know, if you've been following me, Brandi Grayson has often said that there's a connection between people known as Black and Aboriginal people, indigenous people, and how could it not be, since people known as Black are the womb of humanity. And often there's conversations about in research and proof that shows that white people bought their way into be classified as indigenous in different kind of ways. So then there was this whitewashing of the culture and the tribal connection. And tribes were part of enslavement of people known as Black. And Black people known as Black were here before the ship started flowing. So it's a complicated history, but I really appreciate how they displayed it in the art, in the sculptures. And it was just so profound. And then I'm going to be done with it in a second. It was just so intense and so much. But another part of it was the monument. It wasn't the monument. It was the memorial where they had these metal light tombstones hanging from the ceiling. And it signified 4,000 lynchings that happened after the end of slavery. And it was deep. It was, and it had the state, the county, and the year, and sometimes the name, but sometimes unknown. But just recognizing that most of the lynching that occurred in America occurred after slavery. And recently we had a lynching in, was it Mississippi?
Yes, ma'am.
His name is Trey.
Trey Reed.
And they're saying that he hung himself. He had broken bones, bruises on his body, and he was found hung from a tree. But y'all know that's what they were doing to Black Lives Matter activists across the country. And they were also saying they were killing themselves and hanging themselves. I just want y'all to know, Black people don't really kill ourselves like that. If we kill ourselves, it's like, you know, taking some pills or shooting ourselves. You know what I mean? It's not, we're not going to hang ourselves. That's not something we do. So anyway, we're going to move on. I'm just going to encourage you to look up the Equity Justice Initiative happening very loudly in Alabama. Very beautiful Black mayor. They got Black folks coming in from all across the country trying to revamp the city to get tourists and just more economics and building. They're kind of behind in times. Okay. But anyway, we ain't going to diss them for that, because so is Madison, Wisconsin. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. So we're going to move on. We're going to now transition to your boy, Charlie Kirk.
Ooh.
So before we get into this conversation about Charlie Kirk, I'm going to give it to my white guest, my white girl. I'm going to let her start. Give me your thoughts, ideas, speculations. And remember, you will not be canceled on this show.
Okay. I think it's 2025, y'all. We know from a digital media and an internet perspective that everybody in this country needs, it's easy to make anybody a martyr, right?
Mm-hmm.
Social media will blow anything and everything out of proportion. And so Charlie Kirk's the newest guy on the podium.
Mm-hmm.
I think that white people, specifically MAGA, they martyrdom they're looking for people to sign up. And so Charlie was an easy sell. Mm-hmm. I think that the silence from the right wing side, from MAGA, about, you know, the damn near 20,000 people that have been shot with gun violence mm-hmm. in this country this year so far, that silence is deafening. And so it's crazy to me that we can have so many shootings, both political and public. We have lynchings happening in the South with black boys on campuses, mm-hmm. and the president, you know, remains silent. And so that is America in a nutshell. That speaks to what we've been, what we've always been.
Yeah, well, tell me what your thoughts are quickly before we go back on break. Why white people are so hurt and so like bothered by black people not having sympathy over a racist? Why is it so emotional for white folks right now?
Yeah, I think that they, I think that white people have been blissfully ignorant about all the black and brown violence and on black and brown bodies in this country. Mm-hmm. And so they, I think the lack of empathy is because they can't relate. They can't relate to the violence at all.
But it's so weird because white people are the most violent.
100%. They can't relate to the violence done to them, I guess.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's as if that there's this, this dissonance between, their humanity and the humanity of others. It's like, it's okay as a country if we go around bombing people and, you know, taking what's theirs and trying to change them. And it's okay that white men go around committing mass shootings. But it's just weird. Okay, y'all, we're going to talk more about it. And we're going to talk about why white supremacy creates this dynamic where black empathy is demanded. And I want to tell y'all black folks who are listening who have said, well, we need to follow God. God wasn't a fool. Not the God. I don't know what Bible y'all talking about, because Jesus didn't celebrate evil. Okay.
No, ma'am.
So stay tuned here on Black Conversion Show. You're tuned into Brandi Grayson for the politics and tea. You don't want to miss it. Okay, we got Beyonce. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson here on 92.7 FM WMDX, the show with the tea and the politics, local and national. I got my girl Alex in the building.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
And you know what we do? We center blackness, and we always talk about white supremacy, because y'all need to learn, and you're going to learn today. Okay, so back to what we were discussing, Charlie Kirk and the analysis of it. And before break, I said, look, you know, the fact that the white folks and some folks demand empathy, even black folks demand empathy of other black folks, that is emotional colonization, y'all. If you don't know it, look it up. Humanity is not just empathy, right? Because we think humanity is just empathy. No, it's all of our feelings. It's rage, it's grief, it's boundaries, it's refusal. We are not less human for being angry or protecting our right not to mourn those who are out to destroy us, that say things that are destructive. Like, we don't have to do that. We are humans who feel deeply, and our emotions are valid. And what's even more disturbing with this Charlie Kirk thing is that the expectation doesn't just come from white people. It comes from black people who are rooted in this respectability. I read a letter from Black Lives Matter movement and I almost vomited in my mouth. Even one of the people I love, Obama, President Obama, you know, acknowledged this. It's just like, boy, shut up. Sometimes people known as black just need to shut up. This is not our fight. This is not our conversation. Okay, I went off. Okay, what we gonna do right now? I'm sorry, you look, Parker, you know, you new to the show and I could go off and digress. Okay, it's like, I've been holding this in. I ain't said nothing. Okay, all right, anyway, let's do this.
Parker's eyes getting wider and wider back there, y'all.
Y'all are so different than Pat. Oh, my God.
We'll take it as a compliment.
Yes,
it is. It is a compliment.
Thank you, Parker, our white boy producer for the day. Okay, he's Luke's substitute. Let's go ahead with the clip I sent you. And the clip is, you're going to hear from, what is his name? His name is Shahind Bassin, and I probably messed that up. He's an influential Muslim leader, but his analysis of what's happening with Charlie Kirk is on point. Okay, go ahead. Whenever you're ready, Parker.
Charlie Kirk, who got shot in Utah. Him getting shot in Utah makes him, I believe, American number 18,533 who got shot in the U.S. this year, shot and killed. And I think that there were three more people who were killed shot and killed in Colorado, just over the mountains, within hours of his shooting. And all the flags in America are going to fly half-mast, not for those 18,335 other victims, but they're going to fly half-mast for Charlie Kirk. That's just an observation. You can do with it what you will. I'll be honest, when I first heard that he had been shot, I made a joke about it on X. Because frankly, I'm just as used to theatrics coming out of America as I am used to gun violence coming out of America. And I thought that theatrics seemed more likely in this case. But when I did learn that he died, I deleted my post. I deleted it out of respect, not for him, but for the severity and for the solemnity of the judgment that he has now proceeded to. Because everything that he ever said and everything that he ever did that harmed anyone, well, he's going to answer for that. He's going to answer for that right now in his meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the heaviness of that meeting is disturbing to any of us who believe in it. But we'll talk about it. Let's start with the obvious, okay? First, I'm not going to feign grief or feign mourning for this person. I know that's a hypocrisy that social etiquette demands at a moment like this. But we all know that he would certainly not grieve for us. He certainly would not mourn for us, just as he never grieved and he never mourned for the wanton slaughter of the Palestinians in Gaza. He never grieved for that. And for myself personally, as a Muslim and as a critic of Western so-called civilization, I know that Charlie Kirk himself would most likely have officially anyway considered me to be his enemy. And as far as I'm concerned, any man whose enemy mourns him when he dies, well, he wasn't doing his job. And I don't think it can be said about Charlie Kirk that he didn't do his job, which is to say that he never did anything and he never said anything in his public life that would make me mourn his passing, just as I hope that I will never say or do anything in my public life that would make my enemies grieve for my passing. They should be happy when I die. Enemies are disturbed by each other's presence, not by each other's absence. But let me also be crystal clear about this. It doesn't make me happy either. I neither mourn nor celebrate. Neither of those reactions is appropriate, in my opinion. Whoever pulled that trigger didn't do it for me, and they didn't do it for you. I don't even see them as being on two different sides. They didn't silence Charlie Kirk. They amplified Charlie Kirk. The power structure never cared about that boy. They used him. And he's more useful to them now than he was the day before. He's more useful to them dead than he was alive. Listen, you don't defeat someone like this, someone like a Charlie Kirk, a tool like him, by letting that tool mold you into exactly what they want you to be. That killer didn't deliver justice. If you think they did, he didn't. He delivered to the power structure an even more enhanced weapon. He made a mediocre, but dangerous and polarizing figure, Charlie Kirk, into now an impeachable icon for the very fan base that he most likely despises. And he made criticism of Charlie Kirk's ideas. Now it's disrespect for the dead. This is not resistance. This is a gift. This is a gift to the very security state that he probably thought he was attacking. Now it's stupidity. Or maybe, as the conspiracy theories are already speculating, what actually happened was just a purge of an expendable asset to create a more powerful symbol. Oh, they'll use his death. Oh, how they will use it. They will use his death to paint every dissenting voice, every cry for a more just world. They'll paint with the same bloody brush. They're going to use his death to avoid once again ever having to look in the mirror. They're going to hold Charlie Kirk's body up as a shield against any examination of the society that created him. And the society that created his killer. The society that they made and that they rule, and you didn't do anything now but strengthen their hold on that society. They're going to use his corpse as a pulpit to preach from. And you just validated all the lies that they're going to be preaching. You understand me? Because listen, the truth is the Charlie Kirks of the world are not the enemy. The enemy is the society, it's the system, it's the power structure, it's the so-called civilization that creates boys like Charlie Kirk. I call him a boy because that's what he is to me. I'm 54 years old. That's what he is to me, or that's what he was. And also because he presented a childish, simplistic cartoon portrait of America that only a young boy could ever believe in. He presented an America without complexity, without guilt, without the burden of their terrible history. Well, that's a seductive product.
So thank you so much, Parker, for that. So I wanted y'all to hear it all the way to the end because I want you to understand how childish it is and what is occurring and how the division is created by the system and the folks that hold power. You are tuned into the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM, WMDX, with my girl, Alex.
Alex, good morning.
I was like, I am here. I'm the co-host, okay? I'm the guest for the day. So part of the analysis of the person you just heard was, look, black people known as black, we don't need to celebrate his death, right? We don't need to have empathy for his death. And the thing about this, like I often say to people, what's expected of people known as black is not expected of other people. Y'all be wanting us to be exceptional humans while y'all can walk around here and be mediocre humans. As the professor and the guy just, you know, laid out, he had this idea that was very childish, very surface, no depth, no analysis. And what made him powerful, in my opinion, Charlie Kirk, is because most Americans can't read past sixth grade level. So a lot of us aren't building analysis. We are not having these conversations. So Trumpers who have these trending ideas and thoughts and say these wordsmithing things, and people can digest it and say, yeah, we should have rights for this. Boy, shut up and read. Y'all need to read, okay? Because that's what really irritates me. And I'm not just talking about people known as white. I'm talking about our whole society need to read. Y'all need to read. Black people, read. Stop running behind white people and what they're doing, talking about Jesus. My Jesus don't even rock like that, okay? My God don't rock like that. My God is not going to require me to honor and worship evil and watch the system use the evil to block their accountability for the injustice and the dehumanization, commodification, objectification of people known as black. Y'all be on something. Okay, I'm done with Charlie Kirk right now. Thank you again here on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson. Now back to local politics really quickly. So what occurred the other day in city council meeting this Tuesday, there was on the agenda item, we have Dairy Drive, a local community where homeless folks, chronically homeless people, chronically means high barriers, mental wellness challenges, health challenges, post-traumatic slave syndrome, that too, post-traumatic syndrome. We have veterans, things like that. Urban Triage provides housing support, wraparound services to folks at Dairy Drive. If you didn't know, and we've been able to do an extraordinary job at housing people in a short amount of time with chronic backgrounds or barriers because of our relationships with landlords. So shout out to all our landlords. We're not going to give you y'all names because y'all ain't going to be using our resources. But shout out to y'all for helping us and supporting us. Alex, tell us about what happened at the city council.
Yeah, right on. So for people that don't know, in Madison, we have an encampment, Dairy Drive, tiny homes. And this came about in late 2021 as a response to COVID. We took federal funds as a city and we opened up this encampment for folks that were experiencing homelessness. And this past week, our city council, we had to vote on whether or not we were going to continue to fund this encampment. And we normally require 11 votes to pass anything generally. And for this vote specifically, we had 10 alders vote yes to in favor of the extension and 9 voted against it. So very much almost right down the middle. And the thing I really want to point out about it is two things. Number one, the overwhelming amount of public support, right? Just people in Madison registering for or against it. To give you an idea, there were 74 people that registered for this.
Yes.
Multiple people speaking at the meeting about both people that lived in the encampments, people that served the encampments, and 3 people opposed. So 74 people from the public came out in favor of extension, and 3 people opposed. Mm-hmm. And I just want to shout out a few alders here. You know, first, my girl Carmela Glenn made an amazing point that anytime we want to do something, the funds magically appear.
Yes, they do.
We find the money. Mm-hmm. We somehow, when there's a will, there's a way.
COVID.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she continued to remind the city council and the public that anytime we care enough about something, we find the money. Mm-hmm. And so shout out to her and shout out to the other 10 alders who voted in favor of this extension. When there's a will, there's a way. And so I just, it's amazing to me how many times we have things like this in our city where the public comes out in mass in support of something. Mm-hmm. And then alders continue to politic their way through and don't pass it. And so,
yeah, and that's why it's all about politics.
100%.
Like, you be saying, get black people to come out and vote and express themselves. The game is already bought. We know the game is bought. This is rooted in capitalism. And the thing about the economic argument about Dairy Drive and tiny homes is it's cheaper to keep homeless people in encampments. You know how expensive it is for our city to arrest these folks, to put them in hospitals, to, it's evidence-based that keeping them in this central location is better.
It's cheaper for taxpayers.
So what are we talking about when we're talking about economics? You ain't talking about nothing, right? So it's all political. It's all about a look, right? And some of the people that voted against it were progressive. That's why I don't buy into that progressive stuff, because y'all flow. And that's why I lost too when I ran for alderperson, because the progressive group, there's a group called Progressives or something, they really run Madison in the background. Like, it is a mess, y'all, the politics of Madison, Wisconsin, and Dane County. And I often say that I know y'all secrets because y'all tell me everything. You know, city people be calling me, telling me everything. And I don't know what people think I can do. I'm just this person over here speaking truth, trying to run an organization, taking care of the people y'all keep discarding, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, you're tuned into 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show on WMDX. We'll be back in a second. And when we return, we're going to hear from Rita Adair, a local hero, my mother, who's opening up a bar, who wants and needs your support. So you want to stay tuned. It'll be the first of its kind, a woman's sports bar, centering women, because that's what we ought to do anyway, because as y'all can tell, men are destroying us, specifically white people. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a jiff.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, I thought it was all over.
Okay. Hey, you are tuned in to 92.7 FM, WMDX, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the woman in Dane County y'all love, 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 and hate, okay? But I love that you hate me, and I love that you love me, okay? Period. Today, we have another special guest, my mother, Rita Adair, longtime leader, phenomenal woman in the Dane County, in the Madison area. She's been around for a long time. How long is none of your business, but she's done some profound work, and now she's shifting up right now, okay? And she needs your support. Rita Adair, tell us about you, who you are, and what are you up to?
Hey, Brandi, so excited to be here next week.
The mic a little bit closer.
I am.
There you go, period.
Back in Madison after being gone for a few years, and I came back to be with family, and I decided to open up a bar. It's called Brunel's. It's a woman-centered sports bar that will have blues and soul food served. It is a bar that's a legacy for Brunel Hooker. Brunel Hooker was my wife, who deceased a year ago. And her career was that she owned the Milwaukee Aces women's professional basketball team. She was a coach for over 20 years. She owned IOU Sports, which teaches the business of sports.
Uh-huh.
She was all about athletics and sports and took a lot of pride in the work that she did. And one of her dreams was to open up a woman's sports bar. So when I thought about her legacy, I thought, this is a good thing to do.
Yeah, so you're doing it because Brunel was your partner in crime, and she passed away from cancer. And she was known in Milwaukee as the woman's basketball coach, a leader, influencer in the sports arena. And now we want to open up a bar locally. You already have the location. You're already doing the work. Where's the bar located?
It's located at 2513 Seaforth Road. It's off of Stoughton and Flom. It's the old Red Rooster.
Yeah, and you guys remember the Red Rooster? It just closed down because, yeah, we're not even going to talk about the history. But anyway, tell us what you need and how do we support the work?
Okay. Well, in Madison, a license now costs about $10,650. And that's an unexpected cost that I didn't plan for. And some other legal kind of cleanups and rehabs that are required for inspections. So I need about $16,000 right now. And I need it now. If I don't have it by October 7th, I'll probably have to close the door.
Oh, my goodness. October 7th, that's like tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, so how can people support you? And have you been in contact with, like, WEDC and other small business
places? Yes, I have. Yes,
okay.
I have. They've been very helpful, but not able to do everything I need.
Yeah.
So I'm continuing on a private fundraising campaign. they can donate to Zelle, and with my phone number, 608-213-1200, and my name, Rita Adair. Or they can also go on Cash App, which has a dollar sign, the number 3, and it says Adair. If you look on Facebook, you'll see it.
Okay, so look up Rita Adair, R-I-T-A-A-D-A-I-R, on Facebook. You'll see her layout, sponsorship offers for investing in the business to get this first women's bar open and up and running. It'll be the first of its kind. And as y'all know, opening businesses are already quite expensive, but getting a liquor license in Dane County in the Madison areas is twice as expensive. And it's because they have limited number of liquor license. And if you don't get that number, then you miss the opportunity, then you got to pay more. I mean, that sounds like capitalism to me. That sounds just about right. So thank you again for visiting us. Anything else you want to share?
Well, I just want to say that I'm proud of the community, that when I can reach out and get help from this community, it feels really good.
Yeah. And Mom, tell us what are you known for? Who are you? Because, I mean, you're opening a bar, but take a minute and tell us what you've accomplished in Dane County as a leader.
Well, I worked for the county for 30 years mm-hmm. as a community manager and community social work. So I did a lot of groundwork mm-hmm. where I worked on Ally Drive to address all the issues that were there. I did a Katrina project and brought 30 families to Madison after Katrina. I also was a co-coordinator of the Million Woman March in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I've raised over $1 million for the Boys and Girls Club to help mm-hmm. get built on Ally Drive.
Yeah, don't do that again. all right. I need $1 million. Right, mind your business. Okay, so you've been around a lot. You're a leader. Yes. You've accomplished a lot. Yes. And you've taught me a lot, right? Like, so I was my work in community work and justice work started actually on Ally Drive with my mom as I was a community support specialist hired at the time through Nehemiah. So y'all know I have a long history of nonprofit work. And I think I was like 19 or 20, and I'm like 45 now. So y'all just know I'm seasoned, okay? So don't forget to support. Don't forget to look her up on Facebook. This is an amazing opportunity for a woman's only or woman's center sports bar, one of its kind. And, you know, I don't know. You have any closing words you want to share, Alex, about anything? Dairy Drive, Charlie Kirk, white people.
I think there's a lot of sports happening in this city. Yeah. So think a little bit outside the box when we're looking to fund things like Brunel's. Mm-hmm. If you have sports connections, talk to the coaches you know, talk to university sports folks.
Yeah.
There's tons of people out here that are in athletics, whether it's high school or at the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. So talk to folks that could tap into some of that funding because the money's there. We just have to be able to talk to the right people. So I know y'all know the people.
Yeah.
So check out Miss Rita. Let's support her the best we can and get this built.
Amen. And for my people who are not used to listening to the Black Conversion Show and you're new, just know that when I talk about white supremacy and people known as white or black, I talk about it from a framework to make people uncomfortable because the being uncomfortable helps us push through the facade, the illusions, the delusions, right? No, I'm not anti-white. No, I'm not against white people, but we must understand the civilization in which we exist. Colonialization, this prototype of humanity that's allowed a Charlie Kirk to be exalted, to allow people to be fired from ABC. Kimball has been fired. Mm-hmm. A couple other people have been fired. America is rooted on free speech. That's what it's rooted on, right? You guys can call up to Civic Media and tell everybody that you're mad because of the things I say, but they got my back. They actually mess with me. You know what I mean? Because there are white people here that mess with me. And because of it, we've been covered. So what I want to say to y'all is get uncomfortable and practice being uncomfortable. And not just in conversations about politics or race or racism, but in your life. Because we have to understand the way that we survive this and thrive is through relationships. And relationships are formed through communication and hard conversations. So thank you again for joining me, Brandi Grayson, and my guest today, Rita Adair, Alex, on 92.7 FM. And until next week, peace, love, and hair grease.
Bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.